to the next, we say it like it is. No fluff, no double talk. It's straight from the hip. Bring what you got, but you better know what you bring. It's Talk Radio with J.T. Moore.
It's Talk Radio again, and we are back with the paranormal. We wanted to get OPI here again, but unfortunately scheduling conflicts wouldn't allow that to happen, so we're going to do a taping now. Hopefully, before this airs, maybe we'll be able to get them here with us, and we'll do it again. We got some listeners who listened to last week's show, and were very eager to want to share some of their experiences. So it seems to me that this show is going to be that, I guess we'll call it to be the experience show. Because everybody's got paranormal experiences. I've had them. Everybody's had them. Some like to deny that they've had them. But you know what? Denial is everything, I guess. You know, just deny, deny, deny. And that way you don't have to admit that you're afraid of ghosts. But they're not ghosts. They're spirits. That's what we found out last time. We have with us from Georgia, Tom. Tom, are you there?
Yes, John.
And from Virginia, we have Kathy. Are you there?
I'm here.
How great is that? We got you all together. And just to let everybody know that Tom and Kathy are brother and sister, and this is going to sound funny, but you know, they grew up together. And and they have had a plentitude, if that's a word, of experience with the paranormal. Ghosts, spirits, whatever it be, things moving, going bump in the night. The goosebumps, the hairs up on the back of your neck, doors opening, closing, things moving, all kinds of good stuff. And they're going to share a lot of that with us today. And Tom, I know that you were really anxious to want to share some of this stuff because we had talked earlier this week. And when you listened to the last show, you said it really started to make you think about some of the things you had experienced. And I had thought, well, let's bring the other one in, which would be your sister, who has experienced probably just as much as you. Maybe we can get into a little bit of the background of the home that you're going to be talking about. So maybe, Tom, if you can go ahead and start with that and give us a little bit of background information on where all of this activity has been going on.
Well, it started going on, I guess, around about 35 years ago.
Where?
New Jersey.
Okay.
New Jersey. And when both of my grandparents had passed on, my father, who was looking after the house, had asked me would I stay there. Very hot, no air conditioning of any kind up there. So when you get home, open the windows, air it out, keep an eye on the place. And my grandfather, being an avid builder, and I was very interested in building. He showed me quite a bit when I was young. So I started playing with all his toys in the basement, all the wood, the saws, the power stuff. And but along with that came the noises, people walking on. I could hear footsteps on the floor above me.
Is this after your grandfather passed away or while he was still alive?
Yes. I didn't make that clear. Yes, my grandfather had passed, and then several years later, my grandmother had to leave the home. And so it was vacant. It was vacant. And
okay.
I spent a good deal of time over there by myself, woodworking in the basement. And even when I wasn't woodworking there, one night, I know Kathy wants to jump in, but this one particular time, and it only happened once, my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, we were sitting in the main room watching TV, and we had gone upstairs to open the windows. It was a very hot, steamy summer night, and we had opened the windows to let the place air down some. And when we went to close the windows for the evening, all the beds were torn apart, sheets all over the floor, pillowcases ripped off of the pillows, sheets, everything. Like, it was just torn apart. Never heard a word. And
was your grandfather, how do I put this, back in those days, and I'm sure we're talking 60s, late 60s, early 70s,
yep,
most of this. When did he pass away? Do you know what year?
77. No, I'm sorry, 76.
76. So,
November,
you know, you go back then, and maybe you can agree with me, because I know on my side of the family, this was so true. A lot of the men from back in that time who grew up in that era of the 30s, 40s, and in the 50s, 60s, you know, and so forth, they were very hard men because they really, really had to work. I mean, that was the working class, I believe, back in those times. And they were very hard men. And some were hard in their demeanor and the way they were. Others, you know, were hard in that it was a control thing. But I mean, what was your grandfather like when he was alive? I mean, was he one of those really hard guys that grew up? He worked hard, and you know, he was a gruff man, you know, or was he just a really nice, gentle, kind man?
He was very gentle. He was very good at what he did. He was a builder. He was very well respected and well liked.
So what I'm saying is a lot of this stuff that's happened, and I'll let you continue on explaining what some of the things were, but you don't think there was anything negative about some of these things that were happening. Is it all been a pretty positive thing where it's not something that would necessarily be done to scare you or to make you leave?
No, I don't think so. No, not me. I wasn't.
Now I have that.
Of course it scared me, but after a while it didn't, because I heard it all too frequently, especially the noises. I did hear doors shutting, not slamming now. They were just closing, especially the front door. Now, some of that you can write off to wind, some of that to whatever. You know, it's explainable.
Was he a very orderly person? Did things have to be in order with him?
Oh, that I didn't know too much about.
Because it would kind of make sense.
I would imagine he was.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because
think
it
so.
Sounds
I
to me,
I,
yeah, it sounds to me it's like one of those deals where, you know, if you leave a door open and somebody who likes things in order would walk up and close the door behind you when they're walking through the hall, or they
would
pick up something off the floor that may be there, you know, or a drawer might be open just a quarter inch, but they'd walk by and close it because it's not in order.
That's very true.
And I can understand that being a carpenter and a woodworker, I think carpenters and woodworkers have that mentality because of what they do and how they work and what they create, that looking at a, you know, a dresser or even just a table and the drawer is just not quite right, that they walk over and straighten it out. Do you find yourself doing that?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, well, that's what I see. I'm sorry. So go ahead.
Doors in question was the very front door, the entry door. And Kathy, if you remember, they had a great big conch shell that they kept the front door open with.
Right.
And every time I'd come in, I would leave the front door and put that conch shell there. Well, several times I'd hear that door close and right away think you came in or one of my friends came in or something, and go upstairs to find no one there, and the conch shell be sitting in the front of in the middle of the living room floor.
Yeah.
So
you're talking, you know, several feet. We're not just talking, something that got rolled away.
Not just moved. Yeah, not just kick it out of the way with your foot so you can close the door. I mean, it was moved across the floor.
Right.
And how long do you think the activity has been going on? Did you think is it still going on?
Yes.
How many owners have been in that home? How many people have owned that home since your grandparents have left?
I think two.
Two.
Yeah, two.
But within the same family.
Yes, right. That's right.
Because the current owner bought it from his parents, so he was not only raised in that home, but he has since been raising his own family in that home, and his parents bought it from our father.
Have you had any contact with them, Tom or Kathy?
Yes, I have.
And how? How
Kathy,
so?
Have you had any contact with them, Kathy?
I was going to. I guess I'm just not as bold as you are. I know that other family members have also spoken to them too, and they experienced a lot of the same thing we did.
Yeah, my wife and I took a trip up to visit my mother three summers ago. I just had to go and see it. I just had at least just had to go drive down the street and sit in front of the house, and then after speaking to my wife about it, I did go up to the door, knock on the door, and just in case they saw me sitting out there, they wouldn't get suspicious of somebody staring at the house. And I introduced myself and told them who I was, and I knew the house. Of course, it doesn't look anything like it did then. It's gigantic now. They invited us in. They were very hospitable. We talked a while, walked around outside a while. I told them where this used to be and that used to be when I was a kid. And it was, and I can't remember their names. I've got it written down. But she said, well, what about the ghosts? Do you want to know about them? And I said, well, yeah, as long as you bring it up, what do you got? And no one's been, no one has been horrified by it. They live with it. They know it's there. Sometimes it's frequent. Sometimes they don't see anything happening for a while. Things moving around, doors opening or closing, and even seeing a shadow, which leads me to one more thing, and I better give it over to Kathy. But
okay.
I only saw a figure once, and I can't write that off.
A figure being a shadow or an actual apparition,
shadow.
Body-like shadow moving across the floor. I saw that one time and one time only.
And I saw it several. It was when you came in the front door, you walked into the living room, and there was a staircase in front of you. Of course, it went up to the second floor. And the shadow always passed right to left as if it was going to get ready to go up the stairs, as if it was coming from the kitchen because the kitchen was to the right.
That's where I saw it.
The couple of times I saw it, and it wasn't... There was no definition to it. It was dark. And I'm not talking that the room was dark. I'm talking the shadow was dark. We try to write it off because there's a main highway that runs now in front of the home and down, and the home is down a little bit of a hill. So we try to write it off as maybe some shadow coming off of the headlights or whatever. But there were too many different periods during the day or the evening that this would happen. And the one time that I saw it, our other sister and a friend of ours and I were actually sitting in front of the home, and we were actually looking through the front door. The front door was open, but we were looking through. We were outside in the front, and we saw this thing, and the three of us kind of looked at each other, and we all concurred that, yeah, we all saw the exact same thing. And the next thing I know, sorry about that, and the next thing I know, I hear smashing in the dining room, like there were plates and things being broken and smashed against the wall, and it terrified us. It just completely terrified us. And I think the thing that bothered us the most was that we knew that the room was empty, and we knew that there was nothing in there to be smashed. No windows were broken. Nothing was touched. It was just almost like we were told, you're really not supposed to be doing that, or...
Was your grandfather
was your
grandfather a religious man?
No.
So he didn't like the fact that you were praying.
I can't say that. Because you really don't know what you're messing with. No. No.
I don't think it was my grandfather.
No, I don't think it was our grandfather either, because there was a different instance where actually...
Was this in the same house though, right?
Same house.
Well,
we had asked Tommy to take a ride up to the house. We were all in our home, my parents, my sister, Tommy, and I, just as a joke, we said, well, let's call the house because the phone was still hooked up. Our sister called it, dialed the phone, and somebody answered it. I'm like, there shouldn't be anybody in that house. If you remember, he rode over to the house, and we did it again, and phone answered again. It wasn't like it was a party line. Somebody answered it. There wasn't anybody in the home. Tommy, I don't know if you could see the phone from where it was because it sat at the bottom of the staircase. But that was another one. It just absolutely terrified us because I think we were looking for something to spook us.
So
and it did.
I walked in there one time and after work went over. And then you have to remember, J.D., I promised my father to go over each and every day, look around. Open the window.
Just make sure everything was secured. Yeah.
Make sure everything was okay. I walked in one time and there was a pot of beans cooking on the stove.
And no chance of anybody ever getting into that home.
No.
No one else had keys.
No.
In fact, the lady that lived next door to the place, I was elderly and retired, and she was very, very good friends with my grandparents, and she would always keep an eye on the place too.
And it was a dead end. There was two homes.
It was a dead end.
There
was two homes on the street. Right?
Still.
Right. All right, guys, sit back, relax. We'll be back in a few seconds.
J.D. Moore. Hey, hey!
So all in all, you guys go back to this house, y'all get wigged out about all the stuff that's going on. But then you keep on going back. Why? I mean, if all this stuff is going on, and I know with you, Kathy, that you're fascinated by the paranormal, and I know you're really interested in this stuff. Can't say I don't blame you, but what was the attraction other than the paranormal activity that was going on? Was that all that you were interested in? And same thing, question to you, Tom, is what is, I mean, if all this stuff is going on and this home has been sold and someone else has been living in it for the last 40 years, then why? Why go back?
The interest is still there.
Fascinating. Totally fascinating.
It's fascinating. It never scared me.
No, because the couple of times it scared me, then the fear factor is over. Now you want to know what it is.
But, you know, the other thing is, too, I had a very good relationship, and I was young, but I had a very good relationship with my grandfather that I never had with my father.
Right.
Right. Our father never acknowledged that there was anything. However, I do remember him saying that the home always felt odd when his grandparents were in it. And then that's all he would say.
Well, our great-grandfather died there. The house had been hit by lightning twice. Lightning came through the window twice and started fires in the house in the exact same spot.
Do you have some of the things that belong to your grandfather? Anything that belongs to your grandfather with you?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that maybe some of that follow you, or he followed you, or something followed you with that? And is it good or bad? Do you think it's good or bad?
Oh, I think it's good.
Have you had experiences since then?
Here, yes.
And you think it's from him?
Well, I don't know, John, for sure. I don't know. But I have, I would say, only a handful of times seen a shadow-like figure on my staircase. The 23, 24 years, however long it's been that we've been here, I've only seen it 4 or 5 times, maybe. But we do have a few things in the house here that belong to my grandparents. We have some things that belong to my wife's grandparents. I have a lot of my grandfather's tools here.
But it's not regular activity where it's every day.
No, I wish it was, because I think about him every day.
Right.
And my wife knows this too. In fact, I'll throw a little tidbit in there. I miss him every day. About 3 years ago, we went to a wedding. I don't know if Kathy, you knew this story or not. My wife and I went to a wedding of a friend of hers that got married, that she works with. And just happening to glance over my shoulder, I caught sight of a guy sitting 2 rows behind me. And I automatically got chills. And I turned around and I actually started crying like a little kid. Because I thought it was my grandfather. He looked so much like him, and I missed him so much. And I'll tell you, I'll put my wife on the phone right now, and she'll verify it for me. I cried. In fact, after the ceremony, after the I do's, and let's go have a party, I had to go introduce myself to the man. And in fact, my wife was the one that told him that he reminded me so much of my grandfather that I just adored every day he was alive and still do.
No, we believe
it. So if it's him that's here, I hope he's here.
Sure, absolutely.
And I'll share him. The one thing that I hold on to the most is right before he died, the last time I got the chance to see him before he passed away, was that he had said to me that he was sorry that he had not had a chance to teach me how to drive, which is something that he had told me when I was much younger that he wanted to do. And it's funny that Tommy says that he's basically remembers him and he's with him every day, because there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't get behind the wheel of a car and I think of him. So it's almost like I'm carrying him with me every day.
Well, you know, you guys are like really weird, you know. I mean, I can say that. All this stuff that goes on with you two and all this ghosts and goblins and stuff going on around you, and I swear, Kathy, you are like a magnet for this kind of stuff.
But it wasn't stopped just at our grandparents' house, though, because we had things
that,
in our home.
Yeah, this stuff is just, you know, Tom, you know what, it's you guys, I don't know what it is, but, even your other brother and your sister talk about stuff going on. And I know that there is somebody who would just love to spend time in your grandparents' home and just do a little bit of investigating and try to get some either video or they call them EVPs with some sound or whatever. And maybe what we can do is arrange for that to happen. Maybe we can get a hold of the current owners and see if we can get in there and have someone do a little bit of investigating. Maybe we can get some answers for you. So
I know the people well. I mean, I haven't spoken to her in maybe 8 months. She called me just to say hello.
Right.
Like 8 or 9 months ago, something like that. And then I spoke with her. I think I called her at Christmas time last year. And I expect to call her here in the next couple of months and tell her that I'm going to be up there. I think the first week of April I'm going up to visit. I want to mention one thing, and I'll mention it and let Kathy finish the story. But my favorite sister, Kathy, and my other little sister.
How many sisters do you have named Kathy?
Yeah, my favorite sister, Kathy, and two friends. Actually, it was one friend, I believe, by the name of Nancy, and another one, my other sister, Kathy's other sister, wanted to play with the Ouija board one night, and I came in and wigged out.
You know, that's a dangerous thing. You know that.
I came unglued.
Well, you know, a lot of, most of these paranormal investigators and even some of these psychics who talk to spirits and so forth, they'll tell you one of the worst things you could ever do is get a Ouija board.
You don't want to conjure
it. It's very dangerous, and it opens up doors. And you know, I'm not saying this from experience. I'm not an expert, far from it. But these things I do know, and this is what I've heard, that it's a dangerous thing to use a Ouija board. Used them, and used one. Well, we were young too, and I think we were in our early 20s when we did it. And we did it with your sister, your other sister, Tom, and it was one of those fun things. You're kind of clowning around, but you never know. And I mean, it's thinking now of what we had done. I think, my God, I mean, you know, who knows what we could have done? To a point, you know, I believe, but I'm still a skeptic to a degree. I do believe that there are things that go on that we don't explain and we can't explain. Can we talk to him? I said this before, and I said it last week. I don't think you can talk to these spirits. I don't think you can communicate like you and I communicate, but some people claim they can, and I don't believe it. But
I do.
You know, I see a lot of things, and I think one of the scariest things you want to do is get a Ouija board. I just don't think that's a smart thing to do. And
well,
like,
we have firsthand experience with it, and I'll tell you from firsthand experience that if you're even thinking about messing around with one, burn it.
Well, last week in our last show, Aubrey Law from Orlando Paranormal Investigations, she said, "Don't ever invite a spirit into you."
No.
You know, don't because then you're in trouble. Don't and also Russell Martinez, same group. He said, "Don't even challenge them."
Well, here's what I know.
Because if you challenge a spirit, they're going to become aggressive. Depending on how you do that, but that's why I'm really kind of holding back here, because I really don't want to get too much into this, because we don't know the answers of what we're bringing up some subjects here we don't know answers to, and I really hope they can come on and we're going to try to get them back on here. But
well, here's what I know. I talked to a priest about this. I talked to a pastor, in fact, two pastors about this very thing. And the one common denominator between all three of them was that a demon can take on any form it wants to. And their main focus is to draw you in. So if you say Tommy and I are focused in on, say, our grandfather, and that whole experience with the home is not our grandfather, they can take on a form to make you believe that that's exactly who you're dealing with, because that is exactly what's going to draw you to it. You put a Ouija board in the mix, and you're opening up a door that you can't close and that you're going to need help closing. And the first time and a couple of the times that our sister and a friend of ours messed around with it, the first couple of times nothing happened. But we were bound to determine.
You didn't know that.
Well, we didn't. We knew nothing then. We knew nothing. Right. I'm talking 20, 25 years later. We were. And we messed around with it a couple times, nothing happened, and then, you know, you're wondering, well, are you making it happen? Are we making it happen? You know, and it was fun.
Yeah, but one time
until we started getting answers. And then we go back to Tommy and say, well, you know, is it this or could it be that? Or, you know, did someone say this or did someone say that? And Tommy was like, just stay away from it. Leave it alone. But we had it in our living room in our home one night. And our sister and I had that thing cranking. I mean, that thing was just all over the place to the point where she got her fingers burnt. And that was around the time that Tommy walked in, and he near just peeled the roof off of the house. He was so mad, and we never touched it. Nope. We threw it out. We never touched it a day after that. Well, until a few years later when we were messing around with it,
right.
You know, out of fun to see what would happen. But it was what happened when we were messing around with it later on out of fun was nothing like what our sister and I were getting ourselves into. And I am so grateful that Tommy walked in when he did, because we don't know what we could have opened, what doors we could have opened. Right. And it could have been bad.
Okay, Tom, any last words? Anything you want to say?
I remember our fearless brother who was in the Army blew everything off. As Kathy would tell him in letters, and Kathy would tell him, and I would tell him, and you guys are just full of it. And I'll never forget going to pick him up the first time he came home on leave, and the first place he wanted to go to Grandpa's house. And he camped out on the living room sofa with an Afghan on, TV on, and I went home. I had to work in the morning. I bet it wasn't 3 hours later he was tapping on my bedroom window. Tommy, open the window. And I said, how'd you get here? He says, I ran. And I said, and I started laughing. I said, oh, you ran across town? He says, yeah, it was about, what was it, 5-6 miles maybe? Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ran home. And I said, how come you're here? I thought you were staying the night. He says, well, he cussed me. And he says, oh, no, I'm not staying there. And I said, what happened? He said, I heard Grandpa's drawers opening and closing in his desk. And I got up and I actually saw them opening and closing. And out the door I went.
Well, that'll do it.
Well, when you went back.
Well, the next day we went back, we had to go back. And David wanted to go back and pick up the blankets and fold them all up. And as we entered the front door, they were already folded and put back up on the head of the sofa where my grandmother kept them.
Well, guys, I appreciate you being here.
And our dog wouldn't go in the house either.
Right. Well, that I could understand. Well, like I said, I really wish we could have had OPI here. Hopefully we can get them on again. We'll do another half an hour or so with them, and we'll let them help them get them to help you understand a little bit about what went on, what's going on, even some of the stuff you're experiencing today. But we'll see what we can do. Thanks again. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
We'll be right back.